You know, we really are blessed here. We could even be more blessed with a bass drummer and a drum player. Isn't that right, Arthur?
Yeah.
Well, Pastor Matt asked me to preach. He came up to my house the other day, and he handed me a note. Something to the effect that the doctor told me I can't talk for 3 days or whatever till Friday at the bare minimum, and I can't preach. Would you be willing to fill in? And I said yes, and I told him it's the best he ever sounded. You know, it was great. He couldn't respond. That's got to be killing him. You know how pastors are. Imagine a pastor who can't talk. You know, it's got to be a hard thing. It really does. It's got to be a tough, tough thing. Well, today, how many of you guys have ever been to church? And ladies, it's a generic term. Been to church, listened to the pastor preach, and just said, man, I just really don't relate to that message. Been there? I have. You know, just that one really wasn't for me. Maybe because you were in denial. Maybe because it just really wasn't for you. Today, I have a message that is everyone here can relate to. I guarantee you. Because the Bible says that we are all sinners. We've all come short. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. In today's message, we're going to talk about sin and how to deal with it. So you can't go home and say, this message wasn't for me. I don't relate to it. Because every one of us here have some form of sin in our lives that we need to deal with. Hopefully, you know, it's awful hard in a half hour, 40 minutes to deal with sin. You know, we spend a lifetime dealing with it. But to try to give you a message in a half hour, 40 minutes, it's going to be tough. But hopefully I can give you a few tidbits that maybe we can all help deal with sin in our own lives. Well, then we'll have part two. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you. And Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. Father, we thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you, Father, that when we do sin, we can come to you, we can repent. And Lord, unlike we humans, you totally forget it. We thank you, Father, that you forgive us and cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. Lord, I just pray that you would give me the words to speak, no more, no less, and help this message to be clear, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 John 3. I'm going to read 4 through 10. We've got a few scriptures we're going to go through today, and this is one of them. I have a different translation. I know that not one of you have this translation, but I like it, so you'll have to deal with it. This is called the NET Bible, first beta edition. How do you like that? It was originally an internet Bible. Scholars got together, and not only did they publish the words, they published the 57,875 translators' notes. So you can get lost in your notes here. An example, here's the text. There's the notes. They're not all like that, but verse 4 says, everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness. Indeed, sin is lawlessness. And you know that Jesus was revealed to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. Everyone who resides in him does not sin. Everyone who sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as Jesus is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of Man was revealed, to destroy the works of the devil. Everyone who is fathered by God does not practice sin, because God's seed resides in him, and thus he is not able to sin, because he has been fathered by God. By this the children of God and the children of the devil are revealed. Everyone who does not practice righteousness, the one who does not love his fellow Christian, is not of God. So, what is sin? It's really not a difficult question, but we as a church and we as a people have complicated it by compromise. We've done that quite well in ourselves and in our churches today. I'm not here to identify sin in anybody's life today. That's between you and God. These verses define sin as lawlessness. They are actions by which humans rebel against God, miss His purpose for their life, and surrender to the power of evil rather than to God. So, what are you submitting to in this definition? You can talk. It's okay. What are you submitting to? All right, you're submitting to the evil one. And where is our submission supposed to be? To someone in authority, and the greatest authority that we have, any one of us have, is Jesus Christ. The devil has no authority, but we do submit to him. We cannot submit to evil. Let's go to Matthew 15, 18 through 20, I'm going to read. Verse 18 says, "But these things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these things defile a person. For out of the heart come evil ideas, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are the things that defile a person. It is not eating with unwashed hands that defiles a person." Jesus taught, he traced sin directly to our mind and to our hearts. It wasn't the fact, the way he traced sin was the conception of the very thought is where sin started. Everything else that happens as a result of your sins is nothing but aftermath. You've already done the sin. The sin was conceived in your mind, and that is the sin. Everything else that transpires afterward are the deeds of the sin. And how many of you know people that have some form of sin in their life and we kind of lose track of where it was that we really came off the tracks? Maybe in our own lives. The most common New Testament word for sin is trespass or transgression. There's some fancy Greek words, and I'm sorry. I don't do Greek. Literally means to step across the line. One who steps over a property line has trespassed on another's personal land. The person who steps across God's standard of righteousness has committed a trespass or a transgression. And God's standard of righteousness is defined from Genesis to Revelation. Any sin that any one of us may be dealing with, or sins, there's a way to get yourself out of it, defined in His Word. So we know what sin is. We can all name off sins. You know, all of us can name off sins, probably personal ones that we're dealing with. There's countless number of sins. But remember where they all originate, in your heart. That's where they all originate. Sin's origin, the original sin's origin, not your own personal sin's origin. We need to go back to the beginning, all the way back to the creation of man. Before we read the origin of sin in Genesis 3, 1 through 7, turn with me to Genesis 2 for just a minute. And I want you to see something about this. Verse 2, I'm just going to name off the verse, and you can see the words that I'm going with. Verse 2, Lord God. Verse 5, Lord God. Verse 7, Lord God. Verse 8, Lord God. Verse 9, Lord God. Verse 15, Lord God. Verse 16, Lord God. Verse 18, Lord God. Verse 19, Lord God. Verse 21, Lord God. Verse 22, Lord God. And one, if you will, A, the first part of one, chapter 3, verse 1, Lord God. Do you recognize how God was referenced in these verses? It was Lord God, Yahweh God. All the way through that whole chapter, just prior to Satan speaking, God was referred to as Lord God, giving him the reverence due him. We need to recognize that. Because let's look at verse 3, verse 1 through 6. And you notice the first part of 1, now the serpent was more shrewd than any of the wild animals that, who? Lord God. And this is another verse. Other interpretations of the Bible. This is not just mine. I believe it's correct here. Well, look what Satan does to God here. He said to the woman, is it really true that God said, you must not eat from the tree of the orchard? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the orchard, but concerning the fruit of the trees that is in the middle of the orchard, God said, you must not eat from it. You must not touch it, or else you will die. The serpent said to the woman, surely you will not die, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like divine beings who know good and evil. You don't need to read verse 6. But did you realize what Satan did there? He took the reverence due God away. And what did he do with it? He led the woman the same path. No longer was he referred to as Lord God. He was referred to as God. There is a big difference, folks. One gives reference. One can be anybody. It can be a tree. It can be a rock. It can be a crystal. But there's only one Lord God. Chapter 2 was very clear. Lord God, Lord God, Lord God, Lord God. I don't know how many times I said it, but it's there, numerous times. And now Satan has just taken a little bit, one simple little word, and he drew Eve's attention away from the true Lord God. She addressed him just as Satan addressed him, as God. Satan works the same today. He hasn't changed since the creation of man. He operates the same way. Satan has no creative power. The only one who has creative power is God the Father. He has the creative power. He spoke it into existence, and here we are. Satan is very shrewd. You recognize what it said about Satan. He was more shrewd than any of the animals. He's still shrewd. He's still deceptive. But he uses the same things that he used back in the Garden of Eden. In sin's origin, he's using that same practice today. It's subtle. It's simple. It's getting your focus, instead of looking at Jesus Christ, just a little bit over here. Still looking up, but just like a little bit over here. That's what he did. And that same deception that worked on Eve and Adam. Adam was there. Everybody, all the guys, remember it was Eve first. But where was Adam? He was right there in the garden with her. You know, he wasn't lost. He wasn't looking for her. So, you know, what are you doing, Eve? And he was right there going, yeah, this sounds like a pretty good idea, you know. And he did the same thing. So let's get that myth right out of here. So today, I'm going to have a little fun. Now, I'm going to hope that this works. You probably haven't seen balloons used to represent sin before. And you know what? You might not today, because I didn't try this, but I have it all right here. And if it works, it's going to be great. So we'll see. If. You know, if is a really big word. We all know that. The Bible uses those words, and I need this to set this little tank on. So we're going to talk a little bit about sin. and how Satan uses sin in his deception. And I got this one special balloon here that I'm going to try. Now, I hope this has gas in it. I bought it yesterday in anticipation that when you buy something, it should work, right? This is a special balloon. It's going to be a hard one to blow up, I believe, but we're going to try. Because this is the way Satan does things, through deception. Now, if I can get just a little bit of... This is not good. You know, when it's supposed to work and it doesn't... No, of course not. There we go. This is perfect. This is the way Satan works. Starts off as something small. You all agree? That's the way sin starts off. And it's deceptive. You know, it looks kind of cute. Sometimes sin, how many have you seen sin that was enticing and it looked kind of nice? Kind of wanted to participate in it a little bit. But that's the way Satan is. He's very deceptive. Well, in this, if I can do this right now, now we've got to go a little bit further. And you're right, I didn't read this. I didn't realize you've got to squeeze it or something like that, you know, to make it work. Okay, then we'll go. That worked. And you know, this is what sin does in our lives. I'm going to lose the little one. That's okay. Maybe I won't. I'm going to try to tie this. If it doesn't work, somebody who can tie balloons can come up and help me. Because I don't claim to know how to do this very well. All right, we got this tied. But this is the way sin is in our lives. It's a little thing that's birthed, but it grows. Don't let that go. We don't want that one to go. It's important that this one doesn't disappear. So I brought my fishing line with me. So I was wondering if it was going to float. I wasn't sure. I guess I found out the hard way, right? So we'll just tie a little bit of string to this. All right. I don't want to pop it. I've got to be careful here. So you guys got to just kind of bear with me. Okay? All right. So, here's the way that sin works. We'll give it about that much. That'll be good. And I brought a knife to church. Sorry. But I don't think it's going to hurt anybody. Maybe me. That would be the only one it might hurt. Okay? So here we are. We have a little sin in our lives. You know, and you notice the little part of the sin is, you know, inside, it's sometimes even hard to see. If I used a different color balloon, you may not even be able to see it very well. But the sin's there in our lives. No, I can't do this. I did it at the house. This part I did do at the house. There. Nope. My daughter's laughing at me. I can hear her. Payback's going to be a son of a gun. All right, there. Okay, I got this sin here. We're going to talk a little more about sin. Some of the things that sin does to us. Okay, who wants to... I don't want you to name off a sin in your own life, okay? Who wants to help me tie a few of these balloons and put a few strings on? Jackie, you want to come up? Thank you. Okay, what are we going to call this sin?
Unbelief.
Unbelief. Oh, good one. That's a big one. Unbelief's a big one. Okay, you got it? I hope not. Okay, we got some more sins here. Come on, help me out. Give me another sin, somebody. Not your own personal sins, you know. Give me your neighbor's, you know. I don't want to know yours. Okay, what's your sin, Matthew? Well, I mean your neighbor's sin. I'm sorry. You know there's a reason he's not talking. Greed, okay. Okay, who's got this one here? What is this one? Ooh, jealousy. Ooh. Glad none of us experienced that, huh?
No.
All right. I have a little knife here. Yeah, I'm just going to take some of the string off and get these guys going with theirs, because Don't lose it. Oh, come on. I know, but that's why I wanted it, because it's kind of hard to see. Don't let it go now, Jackie. You got that? No, we're going to do a few more, because let's face it, there's more than three or four sins in this room. Am I correct? Okay. Who else has got something else here? Who said pride? Get up here. Come on. Who said pride? Okay. This is working out better than I thought. I'm going to blow one. I know I am. Well, that's a big one.
I don't
know
if I can tie it.
Okay, you said the sin. You got to tie it. Where'd Jackie go here?
I got
to have these. Okay? Sure. What? Name me another sin. I mean, not a big one. One that...
Laziness.
Well, that should be bigger than this. Whoop. You know, that one's about ready to go.
That's all?
Yeah, you know, that's one that we all claim that none of us are lazy, right? Who's got anything else? Come on, give me one or two more. Ooh, glad nobody practices that one in the church today, huh? Gossip. No one practices gossip, right? How are you guys doing tying them up? Give me one. I can't do this and hold this. Here you go. Don't let it go. That's why I had him turn the fans off. I did prepare for this.
Lying.
Ooh. Okay, so I guess that's enough of the sin for right now. You know, this one here, I think I'll just kind of leave here. Everybody got string for all the... Matthew, you don't have string for that one, right? Here you go. And this one here, I think we'll just kind of leave this one connected. Okay. I don't remember what these sins are, but I think you all get the idea, right? Oh, that's a good one right there. I'll just hold that one.
Got the list.
Mary's got the list. The point is, there's a lot more. Yeah, I need to hold them all. Isn't this cool? Kids would love this. So far, I haven't lost one. I've done well. Did you tie a knot in the end?
No.
But please do. You know it's going to go if you don't. What'd you say? All right. Oh, that's a big one. That's good. So we got all this sin. Now, I know none of us. You can sit down. Thank you for your help. None of us have this much sin, right? No, none of us. We walk around all day long, and we got this sin floating around over our heads. And every time we look up, you know, it's kind of blocking our view. We want to look up. We want to see God. But this sin is just, it's over our heads. And we can't get rid of it, you know. We try to get in the Word of God, and this stuff is just, it's in our way. We can't pray because this sin is just all over us. Anybody ever felt that way besides me? Where the sin just, man, it takes your focus. It entangles you. It keeps your focus off where our focus should be. You know, it makes it difficult for us to get into God's Word. It clouds us. These little things, they're irritating, I'll tell you. And this is just a little game, you know. This is irritating. It's bad. It's not a good thing. Did I lose one? Not yet. Consequences. What are the consequences of sin? Death, separation. There we go. Ultimately, every single sin, every sin that you commit is against the Lord God. It's not against your brother. Yeah, you may commit that sin against your brother, but ultimately every single sin is against your Lord and your Savior, Jesus Christ. You may think you're doing your brother harm, and that might even feel a little bit good that you got him. He made you mad and you got him. There it is. Yeah. You feel good about that. But really what you're doing is you're hurting your Lord and your Savior, Jesus Christ. Sin produces spiritual blindness. Spiritual truths are very difficult to see when you're basking in sin. You know, any of you ever see, let me think for a second here. I'll come to that in just a minute. The practice of sin blurs the distinction between right and between wrong. And without the distinction between right and wrong, it is very difficult to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. The balloons took a little longer than I thought, so I'm going to keep going here. Sin prevention. You know, we've identified what sin is. It entangles us. It has consequences. So how do we stop? How do we stop? We don't want this stuff over our heads. We don't want it distracting our walk with Jesus Christ. Sin doesn't only affect our walk with Jesus Christ. If you're in sin, it also affects your relationship with your brother and your sister, your mom and your dad. And just because you didn't sin against them, your sin against your brother will affect that relationship with your brother, your sister, your mom, and your dad. Turn with me to Ephesians 6. Sin prevention. It's a pretty good little way to prevent sin right here. You know there's a lot of them, but I'm going to read verses 10 through 12. Which say, finally, be strengthened in the Lord and the strength of His power. Clothe yourself with the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Remember, he's more shrewd than all the animals. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world rulers of darkness, against the spiritual forces in the evil in the heavens. So, how do we prevent sin? Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. You cannot fight sin and you cannot prevent sin on your own. It is impossible. You have to do it with the strength of the Almighty. Clothe yourself with the full armor. Probably since we were this high, if you've been a Christian that long, but even if you're not, one of the first scriptures you probably learned was to clothe yourself with the full armor of God, with all the pieces. Remember, that armor protects your front. You start running, the devil will get you. That's why the next part, stand your ground. Stand your ground. Do not turn your back and allow the devil to attack, but stand your ground. You may even take a step back, but stand your ground. Because that is how you'll defeat the enemy. We need to recognize our enemy. Our minds are constantly being bombarded with thoughts and suggestions. It's accomplished in a lot of different ways. Music, TV, books, friends, movies, workplaces, in the church sometimes. And Satan is using the same simple means of deception that he used back in the garden. He gets you to just take a little bit of your focus off who you should be focusing on. That's the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If we can't recognize the different voices that are competing in our mind, we'll give in to the ones that we should not be listening to. And the only way you're going to recognize those voices is by spending time. Ephesians 4:27 says, do not give the devil an opportunity. Do not give the devil an opportunity. I'm going to say that one more time. Do not give the devil an opportunity. How do we do that? How do we not give the devil an opportunity?
Strong in the word.
Strong in the word, yeah. But let's say one of your struggles is with, maybe you have a struggle that TV, you see on TV all the time. Maybe it's time to get rid of that struggle. If you can't do something with it, maybe it's time to get rid of it. I got one that should be coming down to me, right? Yeah, the purple one. Good. What was the purple one, Mary?
Lying.
Ooh. I don't know about that one. So what do we do with all these sins? All right? What do we do with all these sins? Well, the first thing we got to do, we do give them over to the Lord. I'm going to find, where is this one? This one right here. This is a really important one. You know why? Because in order to have to expose it. If we cannot expose our sin, we cannot deal with it. We have to get down to the root cause. What caused this sin in our life? We know what the sin is. Where did it get its birth from? Where did it originate? That's where we need to go. I used to be a QA inspector. My brother-in-law has done this too, Greg. What do you look for, Greg? Root cause, right? That's the root cause. That's what we're looking for, root cause. And the only way you can do it is get rid of all the stuff that's around it. That's the only way you can get rid of it. And God will help you do that. How else do we deal with these sins? You find someone, not the whole neighborhood, someone, okay? Or two or three that you can confide in and that you can bear your soul to, that you have full trust in, that that person is going to condemn you for your sin. He's going to pray for you for that sin. It's important that we have one or two or three people that we can really confide in and open up to. Ask them to pray for you. They will. If they're really Christians, they will. That one's bugging me. Search God's word with respect to the sin. All the sins identified here, all the ways to overcome it are here. It's all in the word of God. But if you've got all this stuff over your head and it's distracting you and you can't deal with it, you know, sometimes you don't go like this and you say, I'm going to deal with all this stuff. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. The little one, Stan. Sometimes you have to do it one at a time. You know you got some problems, but this is how I'm going to deal with it. One at a time. It is distracting. This is a pain. I didn't think it was going to be quite this obvious, but it is. You know what we got to do? Yeah, that thing's going to go. That'll make life easier. There. How do we often deal with sin? This is what we do. This is why I kept this one here. Where's this one here? I don't remember what it is. Oh, it's the purple one. That's right. So we take this sin. Okay? We say, okay, God, I'm going to give this up to you. Okay. We let it go, right? You notice that sin. We've let that one go. But what didn't we do? Tell me what I didn't do. I didn't get rid of the string. You know why? Because I'm comfortable with that sin. And in time, I want to pull it back down. Because I kind of enjoyed that one. I kind of enjoyed it. I'm not quite ready to let it go. If any of you saw The Lord of the Rings, this one would be called My Precious. You know? What we need to do, and I think I can do this now, is we need to cut and we need to walk away. And we need to turn our back. Because now, if that roof wasn't here, that would be gone. I left the string long, not so I can pull it back down for certain purposes, but so maybe I can give it to a kid downstairs, okay? I'm leaving the string long for a reason, but in reality, we need to cut that string and let that sin go. What? That's absolutely true. Did anybody hear what he just said? We tend to pass off our sins to our kids, generational sin. For this purpose, we're just letting it stay there because we can hand it to a kid downstairs. I'm going to conclude. It is getting a little bit late, and I don't want to keep you all here all day long. Turn with me to 1 John 5. Verse 18. It says, we know that everyone fathered by God does not sin, but God protects the one he has fathered. And the evil one cannot touch him. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that you've been birthed by Jesus Christ? You're a son or a daughter of Jesus Christ? Do you believe that in your heart this morning? The Word of God says, if that's true, the evil one cannot touch him. The evil one cannot touch him. Folks, conclusion. If we're to be successful in overcoming sin in our lives, we need to lay claim to this verse. We need to remind the devil of his defeat 2,000 years ago. Remind him that he has no place in your life. Remind him that you are a son or a daughter of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remind him that you commit your life to him. You've committed your heart to him. Remind him that he lost. You've read the book. You know he lost. So where does he get his power? He gets it from you and me. He gets it from you and from me. He has no power or no authority over any one of us except that which you give him. So remember this verse, 1 John 5:18. The last part says, and the evil one cannot touch him. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. And Father, we thank you for your promises. We thank you for your word that says the evil one cannot touch us. Lord, I pray, Father, that you would remind us of that each minute of every day. Lord, we need constant reminding that the evil one cannot touch us. We need to remind ourselves that we have victory, and that victory is in Jesus Christ because he died for our sins.